sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege is to carry everything to God in prayer. Alleluia. 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 Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abram's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, where he is in torment, he looks up, and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he called, he said, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And beside all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." And he answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Let us pray. Father in heaven, help us as we look at your word on this morning. Help us to see our lives and how we're living and the direction, and help us to look to you. Help us to find our purpose and our direction in you and through you, Lord. Bless this time in your word on this morning. We pray that you may speak through me. We pray that you are heard loud and clear. Father, we ask and pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I've preached a message with the same title out of the same book before, called Regrets of a Wasted Life, and I've modified it. But I want you to think about your death. And I know when you hear that, it's just like, the sound just kind of leaves the room for a moment. But I want you not only to think of your death, but you see that casket there. I want you to put yourself in that casket. And I want you to think for just a moment that you're conscious. You're in this casket. You're conscious. To everyone else, they see you as past and gone, but you can hear everything that's going on around you. I mean, you hear the organ music play. You hear the people shuffling in. You hear them announcing your name and crying and sobbing and weeping of your friends and your family members as they come together to be surrounded of the memories of you. Now, I want you to put yourself right there in that box for a moment and think and listen. What are they saying? What are they saying about you? Is it true? Good things? Bad things? And then I want you to now just take it just even one step further. Not only what they're thinking about you, but now in this moment, you've come to the realization this is it. It's over. And then when you assess your life, you have moments where you can think backward and say, man, things have gone well. And then I'm sure all of us are going to get to certain moments where we go, you know what, toward the end of our lives, there are some things that I should have done. There are some things I regret not doing. There's some paths that I should have taken that I did not take. And now on this back end, I'm looking back and going, because see, there are certain things. There are certain things that you can't go back and fix after it's already done, right? I mean, I know we live in a society and all that. There are a lot of opportunities you have to do overs. There are do-overs lots of times, but there are certain things you just can't do over, right? You graduate high school, you can't say, you know what, I just like another 4 years. I want to re-register after you got your diploma. If you want to go back 4 years, you better be a teacher or a principal, okay? Or a cafeteria person. So, but there are certain things, once it's done, it's over with. You can't go back. And the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. You know why that's so important. That means there's no do-overs. That means once we've lived this life out, once we've gotten to that very end, once we have to then give an account to God for what has transpired in this thing called life. We're going to have to stand before a righteous, almighty, just God and give in account. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know there are some teachings out there that say, look, there are some people that will die, and then all of a sudden they get into this place called purgatory, and your family members, if they give enough money to the church, or if they pray enough, or if they do alms, or if they do this or do that, they can help push you into heaven. And that sounds great and all that. There's just one thing wrong with that. It's just not true. It's not in the Bible. That is not a biblical teaching. Jesus never taught that. The disciples never taught that. That is something that is man-made. The Bible says it is accounted to men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And in this story that we're looking at today, we're looking at a man who came to that very end and was forced to look back. Now, and I want you to see this. This story is not for Lazarus. This story is not for this unnamed rich man. This story isn't even for Jesus. This story is for us. This is for us to see us in the story. That's why the story is told, so we can see ourselves, because we're going to get to that same moment that this man came. And if we are now being cautioned, this story is a cautionary tale to each of us, showing us what could happen if we continued in that same path that he took. But the beauty of it is, it's showing us, don't follow this path. There's something greater. Don't get to the end and have regrets of your life. Let's look at this man first. First, it tells us a little bit about this man and his selfishness. There was a rich man dressed in purple and fine linen, and lived in luxury every single day. At the gate, a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. We've got two people introduced to us right here from the very beginning, and you've got someone who's got life. Man, I am in the driver's seat, and I'm driving to victory, right? He is dressed in fine linen. He's dressed in royalty, the color of royalty, purple. He has it going on. He's eating, I think the King James says he fared sumptuously every single day. That means he had steak and caviar. Could you give me some escargot? You know, that's fancy for snails, right? It just sounds so exotic, the escargot. No, but he had at his disposal whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. And then his life is contrasted by this man, this vagabond, this bum, this homeless individual who's there. And it says his health is so bad. He's got sores that are covering his body. He is hungry. He hasn't eaten. He's asking for handouts. He's hoping someone will help. And he's sitting at this rich man's gate, waiting for him to come by, and he's asking, please help, please help, please help. And what does the man do? With all of this abundance, with eating well, driving the nicest cars and living in a beautiful home, with all of that at his disposal, he looks at this man, maybe even as less than, and how dare he be sitting there? You know how hard I work for my money, to just give it away to someone else? Do you understand what the sacrifice it makes in education to be able to achieve this level that I've achieved to, and now all of a sudden I would just give it away? I mean, can you feel the air of arrogance and that this man must have had to continue to see this man in this state at his gate? I mean, I'm talking about someone's coming to your house. I mean, and in order, before you walk into your house, you have to look over to him or her every single day. And there they are in bad condition. And you know, when you walk in, you are walking into the laps of luxury. Does it hurt to give a sandwich or a couple dollars? It wouldn't hurt him at all. But he did nothing. He was selfish. It was all about self. Now, I told you guys earlier, this lesson is not for Lazarus. This lesson is not for the rich man. It's not for Jesus. It's for us. It's for us to see us in the story. And in the story, it's saying that we can get to a point that in life, life is all about consuming. Us consuming for self, us trying to collect for self, us trying to, I mean, whatever it is, whether it's status, whether it's education, whether it's material things, whatever it is that floats your boat and makes you feel superior. And that's what you're going after. I mean, you can go after all of that, but what he was doing was going after all of that and had blinders to anyone else. Jesus made this statement. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he shares with us, life isn't about the abundance of stuff. It's not about getting stuff that's here today and gone tomorrow. But it's about accumulating the stuff that's going to be with us eternally. And we'll look at that in a little bit. His first regret had to be his selfishness. And then, of course, that goes right along in alignment with this ignoring the poor. Because in their culture, a person with that type of status, a person with that type of money, in the word of God, it actually compelled them, commanded them. I can't say encouraged, because I think it was more than a strong encouragement, a commandment. to bless the poor. There's this this word that they use in the Jews, tzedakah. It just means charity, but it just sounds better in a different language sometimes. But it's just charity. It was an expectation. In the Bible, God gave an expectation that those who had means, had fields, and you had, after you had went and harvested your field, leave some behind for the others. Take the corners of your fields and make sure that you leave some for the poor so that they can come in and be able. Do you see God's economic system? Do you see how he gives to some? I think we talked about this a couple last week. I referenced 2 Corinthians chapter 1, right? He gives to one. He blesses one so that we can be a blessing to others. Selfishness was never in God's intent for us. We're conduits of the very blessings that God bestows upon us. He places them in our hands. He empowers us. He equips us. He gives us all of these things, but it's not just for us. You remember there was a parable Jesus talked about, and there was a great harvest that came in, and this man had an option. He had an option whether he could take his goods and all of that and distribute it and bless other people with it. Instead, he's sitting there trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And he goes, you know what? I'm going to make myself bigger barns. Bigger barns to hold more stuff. You already got enough stuff. You're blessed. Share it. Share with others. Bless others that are in need. Look for opportunities where you can give help. You know why? Because you and I are God's representatives. I want you to think about this, because I see a lot of churches have done this before in the past. I don't know if it's a trend now, but I remember it was really going strong in the early 2000s, where there were a few big churches that just took money and gave it to the members to give away. Gave it to the members to give away. This isn't for your food. This isn't for your gas. This is specifically for you to give it away, to be a blessing to somebody else. And in a sense, and I like that model. I don't know if I have to talk to the elders. Let's see. But in a sense, think about this. Isn't that exactly what God's doing for us? He's got all these resources, all of heaven's resources, and he puts it in our hands, and he's asking us to do the same. Give this to others. Why? Because in you sharing with others, what you're doing is giving favorability to me. You're putting a spotlight on me. Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, you know, when you do your good works before men, men might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They see your good works and they go, wow, look at God working through her and him and him and her. Look at God. So his second regret had to be ignoring the poor, especially when it was such a strong command and insistence that those who had were to be a blessing to those who did not have. All right, don't forget, don't worry about the numbering. I know 3 goes after 2. I do know that. It just happens like that sometimes, y'all. All right. Thirdly, wasting his resources. You know, we talk about this a lot when we deal with stewardship. Stewardship is just God has and he's entrusted into us. He's placed into our hands what we have, but entrusted in our hands so that we can do something with it. All right, I'm not going to go through a million parables to make sure you get this point. I'll give you one. Jesus gave this parable to talents, and you remember he was coming back. And when he came back, he had an expectation that they did something with whatever he gave them, that they multiplied it. And that's the expectation he has with us. All of us, different levels. You might have different education. You might have different expertise. You have different abilities and gifts and all of that. Some of you can look at a structural problem in this building. And I couldn't tell you nothing. I don't know if a degree this way or that way and the whole thing will collapse. I have no idea. But some of you know. Some, you know, so those of you who know, you add a blessing and a benefit to the body as a whole because I have no idea about that. But then there's an area that I know that you don't know. And you see how the beauty of the body, how it works together, because you know this, you have expertise in that, you have expertise in that. And then when we come together, we combine all of our efforts together for the glory of God. Amen. God blesses us and gives us all these resources. And that rich man had so much. Let me just say this. Don't die with all your resources. Let me rephrase that. You might not have got it the way I'm really thinking it. I'm not saying don't leave stuff behind. I'm not saying don't have an inheritance. I think that's biblical too. That's Bible. But what I'm saying is the tools that we are given are really given for his purpose. I'm going to close out in just a moment, but I want you to hear this. Jesus told a parable, and Jesus was talking about a man who was getting ready to lose his job, getting ready to be fired. And after this man was getting ready to be fired, now mind you, this man was getting ready to be fired because he was fixing the books and he was messing up and all this kind of stuff. And instead, what this man did when he found out that he was getting ready to be fired is he went to those same books and he started helping other people. You owe my master 100. How about 50? How about you just pay 50? All right. So we are at least gonna get money in the till. Now the reason he did that wasn't only to bless the owner of the business, because the owner of the business is getting ready to fire him. The reason he did this is in order to get favor from the people he was helping, because he knew, I'm getting ready to get kicked out on my butt and out on the street, and I'm going to need a job. So, Mark, you remember those 50? I hooked you up. Hook a brother up with a job now. All right, good looking out, yeah. Now, Jesus does something pretty remarkable, because what he does is he looks at what this crooked steward did, and he highlights it, and he goes and he uses it to show us an example. Now, he's not telling us, hey, go be crooked and go fix books and do all that. But what he did is said, do you see how crafty he was? Do you see how skilled he was in the fact that he recognized that this was closing, and he created another opportunity, that he took the resources, this is the key, he took the resources that were at his disposal and he used it to better his future. Jesus said, how is it that the children of this world are much more, what's the word he uses, I think crafty, than those of the children of the light? Really what he's saying is, why aren't we, how do I put this, thinking a little more outside the box? Why aren't we risk takers sometimes? Why aren't we those that are recognized? And look at the resources that we have. And this was another thing Jesus said in there. That's the whole purpose of me coming here. He said that using this unrighteous mammon, we will make friends with this unrighteous mammon, with money, with the resources he puts in our disposal. He's saying we ought to use the resources we have and use it in such a way that we're aiding others to come to Christ. And I'm not just talking about this is for the fund, or this is for the missionary fund over there. He's saying, look, you're taking these resources and you're using it for the glory of God. And I'm going to give you a prime example. There are some people that have come to church. They didn't come to ask for anything. But yet we knew there was a need. Right? And I'm sure there are many people here who have done this same thing. I'm not highlighting myself. I'm just showing you this as an example. Right, because I know many of you have done the same thing. You see a need, and you go and meet that need. You're not looking for nothing in return. I don't even need a thank you in return. Well, that'd be nice, but that's not the reason you're doing. The reason you're doing it is because you see a need, and you want to meet that need, and you want to be a representative of God in meeting that need. And all of a sudden, I've done smacked $50 in somebody's hand before. I done smacked $100 in somebody's hand before because I knew the need. Now, $100, that's a lot of money. Somebody say, hey, man, yeah. but I'm going to just be honest with you. I could afford to give out $100 without it. My whole world doesn't crumble. That's what really I'm trying to say. $100 is a lot of money. If you give me $100, I'm going to be happy, all right? I'm going to smile and say, thank you, 5 times, all right? So if you want to try me, you can test me out right after service, all right? All right? But you do it to meet a need. And you don't know how many times, and I'm just using money because it's a really big example, but it could be helping somebody move or baking them a cake because you knew they were sick, or you saw a need and you went to meet that need, and at that moment, you become a representative of Christ. At that moment, they see Christ in you. You are an agent and representative for Christ, and we can build people to faith that way. Amen. Isn't this what this is all about? Isn't this what God has contracted us? Man, I'm getting ready to close. I know I got a lot. God has contracted us. We're contractors acting on his behalf, in a sense, right? We're here on a temporary assignment for a temporary time to do this temporary work that is going to expire at some point, and at some point we're going to have an account with God for what we've done. Payday's coming. Yeah. Jesus said. Well, no, it wasn't Jesus. Excuse me. Paul said. He's appointed unto men once to die. No, excuse me. That's not Paul. I wasn't trying to go to that scripture. Why is that coming up to my head? All have sinned. There we go. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. How many is that? All. That means left, right, front, back. All. All have sinned. All of us in the same boat. All of us need the same cure. And that cure comes from a person named Jesus. Today is your opportunity. To his very last thing, and really he couldn't at the time that we read this story, was repenting. But this was before he passed. You know, there are people, many people, that get to the very end with doubts. Doubts. What's going to happen now? And I don't want you to be at that point with any type of doubts. Now listen, you don't have to be perfect and get to the end perfect. You know why I say that? Because no one ever has except Jesus. So that's not the standard. The standard is to be found in Jesus. So the Father doesn't see me, he sees Jesus. I don't want him to see me. This rascal up here, I don't want God to see this guy. I want to be clothed. I want to be covered in the blood. I want him to be my advocate, pleading my case. I don't want to be before God saying, well, look, this is how come, and this is how come you should, and remember I did this, and I don't want that. I want Jesus to say, I got him. I'm covering him. And in order for that to happen, you've got to get into Jesus. You've got to come to him. You've got to repent. You've got to turn. God, you know, here's the thing. With this the rich man, whatever his name is, because we don't even know who he is, but we know this. We know he lived, and we know he lived well financially. Living well financially doesn't even mean you live well. But we know he lived well financially. And we knew he came to an end. And at that end, I want you to just think about that. How much value was that life really worth? If you can get to the end of that life and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, to weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not very successful, is it? No, we want to get to the end and hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over few things. I'll make you ruler over many." That's what I want to hear. I want to hear my name called, and I want to hear your name called also. And I, and in order for us to hear that name called, you got to get in. You got to get in. There's no team victory if you're not even on the team yet. You got to get in. You can't finish the race if you never qualified and registered to get into the race. Today, someone, you can get in the race. You don't have to be perfect. He never expected you to. He did that for us. He did. Rest in what he did. Be covered in him. I got so much more to say, but I'm not going to say it today. Come back next week. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here today. You're ready. You're ready to say no regrets. I'm ready to live my life now. I'm ready to surrender to Jesus Christ. I'm ready to forsake all else and to follow after him. And I recognize I'm not going to be perfect. Every day is not going to be, I'm not going to be the halo over my head every single day, but I'm striving. I get up and we're striving to walk in that right direction. And that's all the Lord is asking us. But you got to make a decision. You got to come to him today. You got to come to him. You got to take that first step. No, you got to take the second step. He already did it for you. He created you. He created me. And then he gave us a solution through a person named Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, to come and die on the cross for us. God in flesh to die for us. This is your opportunity. Won't you surrender to today? Won't you come and be baptized? This is your opportunity. Let us stand. If you're ready, you're already halfway there standing. Let's all stand. You're already halfway there standing. Let's all stand. You're already.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I free. Give, I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. We're singing, I surrender, oh, I surrender. Oh, to them I believe.